The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to The Undercurrent. I'm your host, Tara Sloan. It is lovely to be with you today. I hope your December and your holiday season is going beautifully, whatever it is you celebrate. On today's show, a woman who I had the pleasure of getting to know a little bit a few years ago and whose star is perpetually on the rise in pretty much every aspect of the hockey world. Blake Bolden is a pro scout. She's the growth and inclusion specialist for the LA Kings, as well as an ESPN contributor and reporter, so she is a very busy woman. Blake had an unbelievable hockey career. She was a captain with Boston College, a two-time U18 gold medalist, an Isabel Cup and a Clarkson Cup champion, and there's more. Now, Blake has taken all of her life experience as a young Black woman in hockey. She is determined to be the best role model and the best mentor she can possibly be, and she is great. Here is the unstoppable Blake Bolden. Blake, thank you for joining me. The busiest woman in hockey, it seems. You literally just got home from a scouting trip in Palm Springs. Not the worst place to go.
No, it's not.
No. Okay. So tell me what you've just been up to.
Well, I just drove home. I'm home now. San Jose, your Barracudas just beat Palm Springs or Coachella Valley Firebirds. My brain. See? Yeah, I was just telling you, 3 power play goals. It was awesome. So they're rocking and rolling. Had a little bit, you know, I guess your whole squad is just having a little bit of bumps and bruises. But there's a lot of young talent on the Barracuda for sure.
Which is obviously, you know, music to the ears of fans here who are just praying for this prospect pool to start, you know, getting some depth. And so we can see the future coming. What is your schedule like as a scout? I mean, and I know that's not the only thing you're doing right now, but just give me a sense of the life of Blake Bolden, the scout.
Oh man. Well, considering I just moved into a new home last week in the middle of the season, it's been pretty crazy. You saw me a few weeks ago on ESPN, and then my scouting life is pretty much my day in and day out. So yesterday I was in Coachella Valley. Tomorrow I'll be in Ontario watching our farm team, then going to Bakersfield, then going to Henderson. So it's just 10 teams, AHL Pacific for me. And thankfully it's the Pacific, because the Pacific is, in my opinion, probably the most beautiful. Like, I can go golf in Coachella after the game or before. But yeah, it's been a journey. I've been working with the Kings for 3 full seasons now. And it's been wild because I also started in the middle of COVID.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just tell me about the adjustment, you know, going from player to scout and sort of the different skill sets and the way that you watch the game differently.
For sure. Obviously everybody who plays hockey just watches and has it on ESPN or NHL Network. And you're just like, oh, okay, great. And you know, little stats going on that are buzzing from the broadcast team. But as a scout, you have analytics. So everything's just so deep dive. You have to know draft rounds and ages and weights and waivers and all of these things. And as a female professional ice hockey player that I didn't have to deal with any of that, really, I wasn't drafted. I never had waivers. So I had to kind of try to understand all of these things. And I wasn't given a handbook. I started January 3rd, 2020, in the middle of a season. COVID happened. And they were just like, fly, little birdie, get out there and go. And I was like, okay. But, you know, we're resilient. We work hard as women in a sport predominantly filled with men. And luckily, I have a good team, good management, Blakey, Nelson Emerson, Luc Robitaille, they've all been like, what do you need? Ask questions, nothing stupid. So
that's huge. I mean, that's huge to be encouraged in that way, because you do feel like, okay, this is, and I felt this, you know, entering hockey from a different world, right? I came from entertainment to entertainment broadcasting to lifestyle. And yeah, you just, I mean, but it's so nice when people create the situation for you and create a safe space for you to ask questions and, you know, not feel like you're the dumbest person in the world.
Yes, because I felt like that. You have the imposter syndrome. You're in this room. People are listening to what you're saying. They're giving you the respect. I'm like, okay, I did play. I do deserve to be here, right? And it's been a journey. And the good thing is Blakey and Nelly were coached by Jerry York, who is a BC guy. So Jerry York was given singing my praises upon hiring me. So they already knew I was a good person. So they were really welcoming.
Well, I mean, in terms of your imposter syndrome, there aren't a lot of people who have had the careers you have. So you absolutely deserve to be there. And I'm so thrilled to see you in that position. But the last time I saw you in person was at the Tank, and you were doing, I didn't realize it was your first gig with ESPN, because they hired you last year. But this was your actual like first ringside reporting. So first of all, how did it go?
Well, it would have been terrible if I didn't have you.
Come on, shush.
To support me. I was like, what is going on? I had to call up Emily Kaplan. Like, what are the ABCs that you do when you're walking into a game live as a reporter? Like, you can be an analyst and see the game and have your headset on and talk about it. But as a reporter, you got to find stories. You got to speak into this camera that's all the way across the ice rink and look up, and the producer's like, what's going on? My mic was out, and I had to interview one of the coaches without my mic on. And it was so scary, but you know what? It was like playing a hockey game. It was like read and react. It was like the lights on, the pucks dropping, like say what you got to say, get in, get out. So I was really nervous the morning of. I tried to prepare with your help as much as possible. I think I did okay. I had some feedback that was like, you need to give more energy on camera. You need to be more excitable. And I'm just like, I have a pretty monotone voice. I'm working on it. But after, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. I loved it.
It's exhilarating. Absolutely. But yeah, it's also one of those things, you know, I had already worked in hockey for a decade before I got here and did ringside for the first time. And I mean, I just kept getting to the rink and I was lost for the first 6 months. So, you know, there's just like all these learning curves, no matter what you're going into. How much more of that are you going to be doing?
Well, they put me on a game December 15th. I'll be doing the Carolina Hurricanes game. So that's my next one. For ESPN last year, they kind of just had me on this like tape to live breaking the ice with Blake Bolden, on the ice skits with different all-star players from Player Media Tour. So that was pretty much the only thing that I was doing with ESPN. And now they're like kind of giving me breadcrumbs. So I think you'll see a lot more of me. Well, I hope that you'll see a lot more of me. I was pumped about it. And I think my supervisors were okay with it. So well, December 15th is my next game.
Good. You looked like you had a great time, had a big smile on your face. So it was awesome to see. Let's go back. And, you know, this is the second time we're having this conversation. We talked 3 years ago for my show, Top of Her Game. But just indulge me and take our listeners through your journey and how hockey found you.
Yes. Well, I would love to say that Top of My Game is one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. It was so well done. I was so proud to see my mom on camera. I was like, you guys got my mom? Like, what?
We had a great team. Yeah. That was really good.
I started hockey in Cleveland, Ohio when I was 6 years old. I first started the game when I was five. My mom was young single mom. She started dating a police officer whose favorite sport was ice hockey, and he worked part-time in the Cleveland Lumberjacks Gund Arena, which was back in the day before the American Hockey League, a farm team. And he would bring me into the games, and I saw it. I fell in love with it. I was obsessed with Jock Collender and Martin St. Louis, and his brother actually billeted one of the players. So I got to, you know, just mingle with them. And I was like, this is super cool. So I started playing, didn't know how to stop on my left skate for the first 2 years. Was the only Black girl playing out with a bunch of boys, AAA boys hockey, by the time I was 12. And I was just like, what's next? Where do I go? I played in a prep school called Northwood School in Lake Placid, New York. And then I got 2 gold medals with Team USA, U18s.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Thanks for the hype. And then I got a full scholarship to Boston College, had some of the best years of my life there. Went to 3 Frozen Fours, captained the team, didn't win the national championship because Wisconsin was just too darn good in Minnesota. And then played 8 years professionally, Boston, Buffalo, and the CWHL, the NWHL, 4 All-Stars, 2 Slapshot Championships over in Europe because I got a little bored. And then I didn't ever say I retired, but I kind of just knew that I needed a shift, and LA Kings found me, and I haven't looked back.
You forgot your Isabel Cup and your Clarkson Cup, but there's too much in there. I mean, talk about the times. I mean, you know, there were times you would have been the only girl.
Yes.
Lots of times you would have been the only Black girl or Black person. What kept you going? Because I know, and we don't have to get into all the corners with this stuff because unfortunately it's the same story for so many people. But I guess what kept you going? You had those moments that could have easily, you could have easily walked away and just said, why would I put myself in a situation where people suck?
Yeah. Well, I think that's always a good question because a part of me is like, yeah, I was really competitive, but I think I was really shy off ice, and I was an only child. And so I didn't have a lot of like at home fun stuff to do. My mom was, like I said, a single mom. She was really strict in the best way, reared me to be the woman I am today. And I just felt super free playing. It really didn't matter like who was coming at me saying whatever they were saying. I just knew that I could control working really hard. I could control hitting people in boys hockey. I can control, you know, my effort that I put into it. So I kind of just liked having control because, like I said, my mom was strict, and it made me feel very strong and empowered. And honestly, those words really didn't affect me that much. Like, or like situations, scenarios, or feelings in the locker room. Like, I was just like, okay, well, I don't want to mess with that person. Or I would tell my mom, and she would just kind of be my rock in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a tag team duo. And I just wanted to win.
It reminds me a little bit of Bridget Laquette, who talks about, you know, how her dad said, just like, okay, don't let it get to you. Just show them on the ice. Show them on the ice. And that's
100%.
That's what she did. So you have this incredible career and all these accolades. But ultimately, you know, you also, I guess your career was tapering off naturally, but you were kind of hitting your peak at a time where it wasn't possible to be a true professional. There just wasn't a viable situation. The CWHL folded, the you know, PHF now, or as it was called, was not necessarily a viable league at the time. Now, in January, the puck will drop on the PWHL season. How thrilling is this for you, a pioneer in this world?
Oh, well, I guess because of my experiences, I'm so excited, but I'm just like, okay, let's get this puck drop. Let's see like the first 6 months. Let's make this legitimate. how we're being told that this league is supposed to be. I've talked to some of the consultants. Jana Heffert has also reached out and support, and I fully support this league. Being a pioneer, I don't look at myself in that way, because I was just playing because I had nothing else. I was thinking about advancing the game, but I was playing selfishly because it gave me purpose, because I was the first Black woman to play, and little Black girls were looking up to me. And out of all of that came different pioneers and peers that have helped push the game along. But I'm just so grateful that I was able to see it in given the positions that I've been able to see things and speak to different people of power in these rooms, I guess, that are building this PWHL league. I want to get the acronym right. Because there's been a lot. I'm really excited. And a lot of my former teammates are playing in it, like a Hillary Knight, you know, Kendall Coyne Schofield, a lot of BC alums that I've formerly played with. And it's just really nice to see them get their win.
I do think it's fair, though, to say after this long and, you know, just this many bumps on the road, that everybody's a little bit nervous, right? Because I think we're at the point where this has to come out guns blazing, and it has to be done right now. It has to be done correctly. Are all signs indicating that this is going to be starting on the right side?
Yes. I mean, they have their CBA. They have, like I said, their consultants that are thinking about every aspect, every avenue down to marketing, ice time, the professionality of how the women are going to be treated. Obviously, the financial aspect and women being able to make a livable wage. So all these boxes are being checked. It's just let's let the engine go and see if it runs, because there's going to be growing pains, right? And sure. I think everybody is aware of that, but as long as the girls perform, because they've been ready and waiting for this for their whole lives, and young girls are ready and have been waiting for this. And so it's needed right now, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We definitely have to give them some grace. I mean, obviously,
yes,
no league just starts magically, you know, as a perfect entity.
Yeah.
And you, in terms of your other, I guess, duties, I mean, so you're scouting, you're reporting. Are you still working on the inclusion committee with the LA Kings?
I'm still a growth and inclusion specialist, is my like very long pro scout / growth and inclusion specialist title. We actually just launched a program that I'm proud of called Black, Silver, and Bold. And it's basically representing all the BIPOC players that are AAA and AA elite level. I think that most of the time, a lot of franchisers or teams, they just focus on like learn to skate and all those grassroots things. But what about the kids like me, who was 12 years old, that needed some guidance, some mentorship, some community? It's basically a playoff of the Willie O'Ree Academy in Pittsburgh, but the Kings were like, we have our own Willie O'Ree. We're going to name it after you.
Aww, that's amazing.
It's really cool. Amanda Appel, our director of the Kings Care Foundation, came up with that name. And I was like, are you guys sure you want to do that? Like, absolutely. But we have a lot of great programs in place under our We Are All Kings umbrella. And they put me at the forefront of it all. And it's been really good.
Well, I mean, talk just a little bit more about what you might do. Obviously, you're the figurehead, but what might you actually do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, our community coordinator will just kind of give me my schedule. I'll go to different schools around Los Angeles County, play ball hockey with the YMCA programs. On ice, I have my different camps and clinics. We have our We Are All Kings camp. We have our Kings camp. We have our it's like a international Mexico City partnership camp that we do. So I'm like an all hands on deck ad hoc, get out there, inspire, put sticks in hands, and mentor, as well as the pro scouting. I come up with different ideas, and living in the corporate world that I'm in now, they're like, that doesn't work. Or yeah, we could do that. So it's just a lot of throwing stuff on the wall and seeing if it sticks. And we have everybody in place. We have our ball hockey. We have our director of community relations. We have our hockey development team. Everybody is running on all cylinders, and I just get to get all of the credit for, and I want to give all the credit to them because they do a lot of the work.
I mean, but there's no way to really get the lay of the land unless you've got your boots or skates, I guess, for if we're using hockey words, on the ground, yeah. Right? I mean, to really explore a community, you have to be in the community. What do you find when you expose kids who haven't necessarily been exposed to the game, when you're there with them, you put a stick in their hand and you watch them play? Like, what do you find?
Oh, it's just like watching myself when I was 5 and 6. It gives me like those same emotions that I had back then. And it's all smiles. It doesn't matter where they're from, how much money they make, what background they are. Like, they love it because it's you have this apparatus in your hand, whether or not you're playing ball hockey or you're learning how to skate for the first time. It's refreshing and it's new. It's challenging. It's competitive, and they love to talk smack to each other too. I love to get a good competition going. We'll bring up the big blow up LA Kings shooter tutor, and they, and, you know, Bailey will come out, and it's like Bailey versus the kids, and they just go nuts. Like, they have such a fun time. And if you get them into crypto.com arena, and if you get them on the ice to do blue line buddies or get to go down into the tunnel or have a suite where all of their friends and community can be with each other, it's just like a core memory for them. And it's so great to see.
It's so great to see. I want to go back a little bit because I know this story, but how you met Luke Robitaille, because there are so many worlds that came together to transpire for this to happen and for you to end up with this organization with whom you're clearly doing so much. So would you tell us this story?
Yes. Luke Robitaille is my mentor, my supervisor, all of the above. He's been very supportive since the moment I met him, and that was in November of 2019. I was following Black Girl Hockey Club. I had met Renee Hess because Renee Hess is, she's from Riverside, and I'm in San Diego. And I was like, you're coming to the LA Kings game. Back then it was the Staples Center. I was like, I've never been to the Staples Center before. And she was like, you should come and be a special guest. And, you know, we have Lincoln Brown, who now Lincoln is going to Quinnipiac University as a Black young tier one hockey player coming out of LA County. So that's big news right now. And I went up there, met the group, and as we were getting our Black Girl Hockey Club tour of Staples Center back then, it was Luke Robitaille in the tunnel of the Zamboni, and I was standing next to Kwame Mason, who is the NHL, he created Black Ice in the Willie O'Ree documentary. He's been a part of that, I'm sorry, scratch that, not Black Ice, Ice Queens. There's so many documentaries.
Yeah, Ice Queens, yeah.
And Soul on Ice, excuse That's me. Right. And so he was like, go up there and go check it out. And I was like, no, I'm really nervous. So he drags me up there. And Luke is like, hey, how are you? Being Luke, the charming guy that he is. And I just start talking to him about hockey. And he knew about women's hockey, the struggles that we were facing. He knew that, you know, they were looking for an American League scout and had been doing interviews for the last couple of weeks. And he just kind of casually asked if I wanted to be a pro scout. And I said, sure. I don't know what that entails. And he said, okay, send me your email and send me your resume. I'll give you my email. And so I did it the day after, and I was up for interviews in less than a month. Wow. Like, pretty much before Christmas. It was like, boom, boom, boom. Met Blakey, met Nelson Emerson. They called up Jerry York. Jerry York gave me a green light, and everybody was like, oh, she's kind of cool. I mean, she knows her stuff.
And you know your stuff. What did they tell you when you got the job about why they wanted to hire you?
I think a lot of times when you get a job in the NHL, a lot of times it's, oh, I know someone, I used to play with someone, like, this is how it happens. And for me, I think they felt me out a lot. I think they did a lot of background on my career, what I was about, my character, my integrity. They care. It was almost like I was a player on the team that they wanted to interview before I got the contract. And then I had to do some video analysis and assessments in front of people, everyone. And, you know, I just held my shoulders up and I did the darn thing. I mean, you know, hockey, we know hockey. So I'm like, yeah, that guy was, you know, D to D pass, great gap, blah, 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 puck protection. And they're just like, oh, okay. So she's not nervous in our presence, which I was nervous. I just did a power stance before. And then they said, you know, we think that you'd be a great fit. Started part-time. And then that June of 2020, I added the growth and inclusion specialist role because our COO, Kelly Cheeseman, thought that that would be a good fit for me.
Well, obviously it is. I mean, it sounds like for the Kings, and I know this is a Sharks podcast, but I feel the same way about the Sharks. Culture is paramount, right? That's why you were getting those questions that didn't relate to hockey as much as it related to your character. Because to be part of the team, you also have to be a decent human being who can fit into a positive culture.
Yeah. And that's important because obviously as the leagues start whispering, there's different teams that are struggling with culture and that's hard. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that in your organization.
How important is it for you to be a role model? How seriously do you take that?
I take it pretty seriously. I sometimes wake up and I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, what do you want to do today? I started a mentorship program back in 2019 when I moved out to San Diego because I didn't really have a full-time job. I just kind of leapt and took a risk and moved out west. And I just knew I wanted to stay connected to all the girls that said that I had impacted them on the East Coast. So I started my mentorship program and that has just blossomed. I've been able to work alongside Play It Again Sports, who's been my mentorship sponsor. So all of the kids that are part of my mentorship get it for free. And it's a once a month, hour and a half, 2 hour long conversation, ages 13 to 16 of young girls who play all sports, but a lot of them are hockey players. And it doesn't matter what sport you play. You can be a mentor for a swimmer. These young girls are just trying to put puzzle pieces together and I try to help them solve it the best way that I can and give them all of my experiences and nuggets and they build the community within themselves. So I think mentorship program is probably the best thing that you could give back. Not mentorship program, but mentorship and just being the best person that you can be. Even you just helping me as a woman in sport, you could have just turned your head and been like, no, I don't really care to see you succeed your first time in as a sideline reporter, but you didn't do that. And that is huge. And that's a gift to the hockey community.
Well, I tell people, cause you know, I'm approached by young women all the time. And I just say, first of all, just cold call people. Like I don't know too many women in this sport anyway, who would say no,
yeah.
You know, I think many of us are eager to help one another and certainly help young people who, you know, want to see them need to see themselves reflected. Not
yes.
Just want, need.
Yes.
So that's, by the way, that's the Embolden Her mentorship program, right?
Correct. That is the Embolden Her.
Want to look that up.
Yes.
I mean, so what is, you're still young. I mean, 30. You really, yeah, that's trust me. That's young.
Yeah.
I mean, what is there a plan? I mean, you're at such a great point in your career. So if you didn't have, you know, a 5-year plan, I wouldn't blame you because what you're doing is fantastic. But do you have a plan for further world domination?
Further world domination. That is so funny. I have different projects that I want to work on. I would love for the PWHL to come out to the West Coast. I mean, we've hosted some rivalry series games. We hosted the PWHL in their consolation games and playoffs last year. If for whatever reason, how successful it is going to be, because I'm putting that out there, I would love to be a part of it, whether that's an owner, whether that's just management. That would be something that would be exciting for me, because I don't think or see myself moving out east right now in the next 5 years. I also want to start to branch out internationally, gifting the game of ice hockey internationally. I've been connected with some really incredible people in Africa that I would love to travel to, and maybe travel to the Middle East, and maybe travel to different countries in Asia or Europe that don't really do the whole hockey thing. That would be something that I'm interested in. And it's all for growth and learning about what's outside of my little world and space. Mm-hmm. If the Kings will have me, I'll be here as long as they will. And that's it. It's not really a plan, but those are just little floating ideas. And that's how the Kings came to me anyway, is just throwing a text and saying, hey, can I come hang out with Black Girl Hockey Club?
So what is it about hockey that makes you feel so passionate about sharing it?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think for me, like I said, when I was a kid, it was almost like it cracked open my heart and made me just step into a bigger person, step into a more fierce person, step into someone who I didn't even know I could be, just challenging myself every day. I think that's what hockey brings, because hockey's not a whistle, stop and go game. It's you're always evolving and you're reading and reacting, and it's movement and it's fluid. And that's how my brain works, as you can imagine. I'm very fluid. And so I think for someone like myself, it's just magnetized. And I just want to share that feeling with others.
Hmm. I love that. It's such a beautiful thing, because your passion is so, so clear to me. And and obviously, you know, I'm sure that's why you're in the position you are, because your passion is absolutely contagious. Blake, before I let you go, and I'm sure you want to just chill out after your trip to Coachella Valley. Listen, this is a Sharks podcast. Are you allowed to say who you like on the Barracuda or on our teams without giving any secrets? Who you guys
yeah,
are
no. Well, naturally. One of my first, some of the people that I just met, because I had to interview and go in the locker room, I thought Tomas Hertl was just such a gentleman. I was nervous going into the locker room, and everyone was so kind. I was like, culture, 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 culture. It was a bummer that Anthony Duclair couldn't play against his former team. I thought it was funny that Giovanni Smith gave me a little head nod, like a, oh, I see you, girl, person of color out here. But, you know, Eklund, Castles, Bordalo. I really like your Russian, Mac Mahamadulin. I think that's how you
I
say
think that was an excellent attempt, and I'm not going to make one.
And I think the Barracuda have some really great prospects. I'll throw my husband in there, because he actually works with the Barracuda as their breathwork coach right now. So our house is split and divided, and I think it's pretty cool. So he is like really in the thick of it. And my friend Rachel Lanas is also the strength and conditioning coach for the Barracudas, who
she is unbelievable.
Yeah.
She is fierce and amazing. Yes.
And knows her stuff and is equally as passionate as I am about the game, just about learning, about bettering and the performance of her athletes. Winning two championships with her, playing against her, she was at Northeastern. Like, her and I are like sisters. So it's just really cool to be in all these spaces. Apparently it's all hockey for me.
Well, I love that. It's all hockey and it's all heart. And Blake, I hope I get to see you again in the flesh.
I will.
It was such a pleasure running into you at SAP, and I wish you continued good luck. Not that you need it, in everything you do. I really will be following along.
Thank you so much. And we will go for coffee or a meal when I'm in San Jose because I'm there all the time. So it needs to happen.
Hit me up. You have my number. And thank you for taking the time today.
Of course. Thanks.
Thanks so much to Blake for her time. It is precious for her at the moment as she is exceptionally busy. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can catch Blake on ESPN. She's doing a game, I think, December 15th, she said, a Carolina game. So you can catch her on TV or at a rink near you, scouting and doing what she does. So she's an incredible person. Please continue to pay attention to what she's doing because I think she's going to accomplish more great things through the course of her life and career. That does it for this edition of The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan. I look forward to meeting the next time. Until then, keep your fins above water.